Hello and happy Tuesday. This is Nancy reading to you today from Your Sun Chronicle. It is June 9th, 2026. Our cover story is Out of Attleboro by Rhiannon Watkins, For Pete's Sake, to close. For Pete's Sake Preschool, a generationally beloved early learning center, will close next school year after failing to secure a new location when it was forced out of its longtime home at St. Teresa's Church, where it has operated for 43 years. The Fall River Diocese, which owns and rents a former church space to the preschool, informed Director Tiffany Sullivan that the lease would end and the school would need to relocate. The preschool's directors were unable to find a suitable alternative location, according to a fundraiser seeking $50,000 to support the school. The diocese told the Sun Chronicle it plans to replace For Pete's Sake with its own affiliated daycare, the Little Flower Early Learning Center. The move leaves 132 children who had re-enrolled for next year, along with 30 additional families on a waitlist, scrambling to find openings elsewhere. Staff members must also seek new employment. For Pete's Sake Preschool has been open for decades, taking care of many families and watching them grow through generations. It seems that everyone knows someone who went there or is able to speak on their amazing reputation, wrote Sharon Laird, a parent who started the Spot Fund online fundraiser. Laird said she had two children who attended the preschool and another she hopes to enroll in the school if the school finds a new location. It's with a sad heart that they will be having to take a year off from doing what they dedicated their hearts and lives to due to not being able to secure a new location despite long, time-consuming, stressful, and tiring attempts. For Pete's Sake, staff members were unavailable for comment at press time. Within a week of being posted, the fundraiser has raised just over $4,000 towards this goal, with several donors contributing $100 each. I understand this will not help to secure a spot for the upcoming school year, and I understand the anxiety and frustration many families are experiencing right now. But try to think of all the times For Pete's Sake had been there for you and your family or families you know, Lard wrote. I have faith FPS will live on with the amazing group of educators. I know they would never ask for this support, but I truly feel they deserve it. Sullivan told the Sun Chronicle in May that the relocation notice came as a surprise. We had signed a two-year lease and several weeks later found out we had to be out in months, she said at the time. According to the diocese, officials notified the preschool verbally in early fall of 2025 and formally in writing in November that the lease would end in June of 2026. Sullivan said she was not given a reason by the diocese. In a statement to the Sun Chronicle, the diocese said Little Flower's current location, a building that belonged to the former Holy Ghost Parish on Linden Street, is being sold along with the rest of the parish property. The statement added that enrollment at Little Flower has been steadily growing and additional space is needed. For Pete's Sake, originally named St. Teresa's Day Nursery, opened in 1983 and was affiliated with St. Teresa's School. It separated from the church in 1990 at the church's request, Sullivan said. The church closed last June, but the diocese, which owns the space, has continued to use it. The Reverend Edmund Pete Levesque helped the daycare establish its independent identity, prompting the name change to For Pete's Sake in his honor. Levesque died in 2011. From the City and Town page, in story by Mike Kirby, North Native is game show finalist. When Victor Kai started on the Fox game show The Floor, there were 100 contestants. Now there are just 16 left as the North Attleboro native enters the finale of the Fox Game Show, which will have a two-hour special starting at 8 p.m. Wednesday and streaming on Hulu the following day. That means Kai, the 2017 North Attleboro High School salutatorian has a chance to win the $250,000 top prize or other cash out of the total $470,000 pot. I'm guaranteed to play once, but other than that, I can't say much, Kai said Monday, as all contestants are sworn to secrecy until the show airs. Kai was the focus at the end of the last episode when cameras caught him mouthing, "Oh my gosh," in a promotion for the finale. On the floor, which is hosted by actor Rob Lowe, contestants stand in their space on the floor. Each has a category they are an expert in. Kai started out with seeds and nuts as his category, but stole world religions from a contestant he defeated. A thing called the randomizer does exactly like it sounds, randomly choosing a contestant on the floor. That contestant then must choose a neighbor on the floor as quickly as possible, and as quickly as possible, identify items from their category. Whoever wins the duel gets to keep the loser's square and accumulate territory. Although there are 16 contestants left, some have not played while others have played several times. One of the central characters has been Eric, who accumulated so much territory that he was frozen. He will be unfrozen for the finale. Kai filmed the show during the first week in May of 2025 in Dublin, Ireland, so it's been a long time until he gets to actually see the final edit. He called the fact that the show is finally over exciting and sad. I'll say it again. This has been the craziest, most fun experience of my life, he said, and it definitely makes me want to play more shows. In a story out of Foxborough by Elizabeth Coffey, Foxborough High graduates urge to see possibility and build community. Before packed bleachers filled with family and friends, the class of 2026 celebrated graduation Sunday afternoon in the school gymnasium. The 189 graduates entered in pairs to Edward Elgar's Pomp and Circumstance, performed by the school band as the audience cheered. The ceremony opened with the national anthem, performed by senior jazz choir members Joseph Blanchard and Aaron O'Malley, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance, led by Class Vice President Camilla Burton. Class President Colin Trimble welcomed the audience and introduced the Reverend William Dudley, a 1976 graduate of Foxborough High and pastor of the Union Church of Foxborough. Dudley offered an invocation, reflected on life of Foxborough High student Sam Burns, who battled progeria, a rare disease that causes rapid aging. Dudley highlighted Burns' life and accomplishments before his death in 2014 at the age of 17. "We can make it our goal to be one-tenth as positive as Sam," Dudley said. "And if so, every member of the class of 2026 and all of us here could leave the world a better place." Superintendent Amy Burdos followed and referenced lessons from the children's books Not a Box by Antoinette Portes and Where the Wild Things Are by Morris Sendak. She emphasized that growth and resilience do not always come from complex ideas, and said the class experiences demonstrated their ability to adapt and evolve. "See possibility where others see limits," Burdos said. "Step into the unknown, even if the path is unclear, because no one has figured it out yet. Growth is a lifelong journey." School committee chair Nathan Ehrman encouraged graduates to remember those who supported them and reminded them they will always be connected through shared experience. Trimble returned to the podium and spoke about what it means to be not just a class, but a community, recounting the achievements of his classmates and urging them not to settle for less than what they built together. "Remember that you graduated from Foxborough High School and that makes you special," Trimble said. "For 4 years, our class has shown what can happen when people choose to expect more from themselves and support one another along the way." Class valedictorian Shiza Hussein closed the ceremony by reflecting on the people who shaped her experience. When I think about who I am today, I can trace almost every part of it back to someone in this community, Hussein said. None of it was built alone, but built by every person who showed up, even in the smallest ways. She said she hopes graduates carry a piece of the town and its people wherever they go next. This one's out of Wrentham by Madison Dumphy, KP class of 26, urged to value the journey. Nearly 300 members of the King Philip High School class of 2026 gathered with friends and family Sunday and were encouraged to grow and learn from future failures. Graduates entered the ceremony at Stonehill College wearing green robes, many with decorated caps. Superintendent Rich Drolet spoke first, following the national anthem and Pledge of Allegiance. He encouraged the class to remember they will learn more from losing than from winning. When you experience a loss or things don't go your way, remember it's a learning opportunity, Drolet said. How privileged we are to live our life, have opportunities to better ourselves, learn and grow. Jim Leon, chair of the King Philip School Committee, echoed the message, telling graduates that while they will experience failure, it will not stop them from moving forward towards their goals. Failure is a stepping stone, a success. Embrace it. It will strengthen you, Leon said. Do not underestimate the impact you can have. Stand for what is right, not what is popular. Principal Nicole Bottomley praised the class for how they treated one another over the past 4 years and said that same mindset should continue in their future endeavors. Chase the opportunities that excite you. Take risks. Dream big. Just as importantly, be a person who treats others with respect. Class President Logan Riley urged his classmates to invite more people into their lives, saying that connecting with others will improve their quality of life. I cannot stress enough how drastically quality of life improves when you invite more people into your life. Please, I beg, just talk to more people, Riley said. Salutatorian Lauren O'Bara shared that she packed her own lunches throughout her senior year, calculating that she ate 111 chicken breasts and 111 sweet potatoes. Through that routine, she told classmates that while some may know what comes next and others may not, success is shaped by the habits they build. So at the beginning of this next chapter, I hope you remember the future won't be determined by one exam, one interview, one semester, or one setback. It will be shaped by the habits we build, the efforts we give, and the choices we make every single day. Valedictorian Arush Patlola encouraged graduates to focus on the experiences they have along the way rather than solely on their destinations. As we all leave this school and find ourselves in new phases of our lives, we're going to be presented with opportunities that don't come with a guaranteed reward at the end. I ask you all, especially those who haven't found the future calling a job, to not chase the ending reward, but the experience, Petlola said. This fuels passion, and passion is what fuels life. In a story by Steven Peterson, meet K.P. High's valedictorian and salutatorian. Arush Patlola of Plainville is the valedictorian, and Lauren O'Bara of Norfolk is the salutatorian of King Philip Regional High School Class of 2026. Arush and Lauren have distinguished themselves through years of hard work, dedication, and a commitment to excellence both inside and outside the classroom, Superintendent Rich Drolet said. They have excelled academically and been natural leaders in service to the King Philip community, which has earned them the respect of their classmates and teachers. We congratulate them on this well-deserved recognition and look forward to all they accomplish in the future. Petlola graduates as a top-ranked student in a class of over 300. Petlola serves as president of the King Philip National Honor Society and co-president, co-captain, and coach of the King Philip Match math team. He has also held leadership roles in the Science National Honor Society and Math National Honor Society, Mu Alpha Beta, which while pursuing internship and research opportunities in engineering, medicine, and public health. A three-sport varsity athlete, Petlola has competed in swimming, tennis, and track and field. He will attend Cornell University, where he plans to major in electrical and computer engineering. In every capacity, Arush exhibits integrity, curiosity, and a dedication to impact, Principal Nicole Bottomley said. Beyond his exceptional academic achievements, he possesses a rare combination of intellectual depth and emotional maturity, approaching challenges with resilience, humility, and purpose. Whether in the classroom, through leadership, or in service to others, he consistently contributes meaningfully to the communities around him. His character, dedication, and pursuit of excellence make him an inspiring representative of the class of 2026. Obara is the second-ranked student in her class. Throughout high school, Obara served as a peer mentor and a peer tutor, participating in KP Cares and earned membership in the National Honor Society, as well as the Math, Spanish, and English Honor Societies. She was also a two-sport varsity athlete, competing in soccer and lacrosse and serving as captain of the varsity soccer team. Outside of school, Obara has volunteered as a youth coach for soccer and lacrosse programs, worked as a youth soccer coach at Four Kicks, and served as an ambassador for Morgan's Message, an organization that promotes mental health awareness among student athletes. Obara will attend the University of Richmond this fall, where she plans to major in accounting. Lauren embodies a perfect balance of determination, humility, and kindness, Bottomley said. She is accomplished. Yet humble, ambitious, yet deeply caring. In all that she does, she leads with integrity, empathy, and enthusiasm, earning the respect and admiration of peers and teachers alike. Her loyalty, leadership, and commitment to excellence extends far beyond the classroom, making a lasting impact on everyone fortunate enough to know her. In Bill Gouvier's column, Bad Taste Beyond the Icing, Hitler, South Park, a cake, and my hometown of Norton, quite a combination. A small Norton bakery last week posted a picture on its website of a cake it had made for a customer. It featured a well-done image of Cartman, a character from the satiric television show South Park, dressed as Adolf Hitler with the words Heil Katie across the top. It had been ordered by someone in Norton to commemorate a woman leaving her job at a local business. It was described as a private joke. However, many people not only failed to see the humor, but found it extremely offensive. Others said it was being taken too seriously. Some angrily stated they would no longer do business with the bakery, while others just as passionately pledged new or continued support. There are a few more disgusting and emotionally triggered figures in history than Adolf Hitler. Whether depicted as a cartoon character or not, Hitler was responsible for the deaths of millions of Jews during the Holocaust, along with millions of others. He carried out those crimes in cruel, violent, and heartbreaking ways. He is widely regarded as the personification of evil, and his actions still cause intense pain today. It has been argued that South Park was demeaning Hitler through Cartman's impersonalization, which is true. So if it was on television, why not put it on cake? Do people need to lighten up? Let's be clear. The bakery had an absolute right to make the cake and post a picture of it. That's indisputable. The First Amendment to the Constitution guarantees that right. That the bakery made the cake is somewhat understandable. It was ordered by a private party, and although many, like me, find it repulsive, Opinions are like noses. Pretty much everyone has one, but they don't all smell the same. I understand why the cake was made, and that does not mean the bakery was endorsing Hitler or his action. But the decision to post it on social media page and use it to promote the business, I find that appalling, insensitive, and most of all, not very smart. In that regard, the people criticizing the bakery have a valid point. I would have had the same reaction if the image was a swastika or an image of Kathy Griffin holding a mock-severed head of Donald Trump that circulated and inspired outrage a few years ago. The pain this episode has caused some of the people of the Jewish faith is difficult to measure or deny. Look, I like a good joke. I believe in the right to hold unpopular opinions and do unpopular things. And if you'd have ever seen me, it's clear I like cake. But posting the Hitler cake picture was a terrible decision. This local business deserves the criticism it has received. It has issued an apology, but the damage is done. People will make their own decisions about whether to patronize the business going forward, but the bad taste this cake left will linger for some time. In the sports world, this is by Tyler Hetu. Bombardiers reach first softball Final Four. For the first time in program history, the number 3 Attleboro High softball team reached the MIAA Division I state semifinals on Saturday after beating number 6 Bridgewater Raynham High in a 10-1 rout. 10 years ago, the Bombardiers were in the cellar of the Hockomock League with 2 wins. Now the program is achieving levels of success it hasn't seen before, and it's getting ready for its semifinal against second-seeded and undefeated Central Catholic of Lawrence Tuesday at UMass Dartmouth at 3:30 p.m. Attleboro head coach Mark Homa said the journey to where they are now took a lot of patience in building the culture and the winning mentality of the team. A lot of patience, having the patience and passion to want to build a program. This is awesome, and some things take time, Homer said. We've slowly got to this point. Now being one of the final four teams in Division One is quite a feat. I hope we can handle it with all the excitement and everything. We've got to move forward and continue to play who we are. It was a scoreless game until the bottom of the third inning when Raina Bennett poked the ball over the Trojans' second baseman to make it 1-0 for Attleboro. The Bombardiers continued in their next at-bat with Lola Ronayne connecting for a towering 2-run homer to make it 3-0. Attleboro would go on to add 3 more in the bottom of the fifth with Sophie Borges dealing the Trojans a death blow by belting a 3-run homer to make it 6-0. Ronayne finished the day 1-for-2 with 2 ribbies and 3 runs scored, while Borges had a base hit with 5 ribbies and Bennett had 2 hits with 2 runs scored. That happened all year. You never knew what moment it's going to happen or what player, Homer said. Borges' home run, that made a huge difference. Lola did as well. Sophie's made a mark and you could see their shoulders drop on the other side of the field. Was huge. Attleboro added 4 more runs in the bottom of the sixth, capitalizing on some poor Trojans defense and both good situational hitting and base running. Multiple times through the game, Attleboro fielders picked up Callahan, with Nina Sullivan in particular tracking down multiple balls in the gap that would have scored runs or gone for extra bases. Homer pointed to the Bombardiers' defense in the last round's win over Bishop Feehan and again emphasized the importance of the 8 around Callahan picking her up when the ball is put into play. Callahan ended the game with 6 strikeouts in a complete game effort, allowing 5 hits with 3 walks issued. This is huge for us. We don't have a pitcher that's going to strike out 16 batters. We have to play as a team, and a big part of that is defense, Homer said on the defense. We beat it into the girls. Nina, in my estimation, is one of the best center fielders we've ever had at Attleboro High and definitely a top center fielder in the Hockomock League. She did today what I expected her to do. She has the speed, has the glove, has the confidence. That ball drops, momentum is going to change, and it's going to be a different game. Going forward, we're going to have to play solid defense. Attleboro plays number 2 Central Catholic in the semifinal on Tuesday at UMass Dartmouth at 5:30 p.m. And continuing with softball, King Philip blanks Silver Lake to earn Division II state semis. Top-seeded King Philip Regional High blanked number 8 Silver Lake Regional High 11-0 in their MIAA Division II softball state quarterfinal on Saturday. Silver Lake had one hit off King Philip's McCoy Walsh, who struck out 11 in 7 innings with no walks. Regan Durd, Allie Gill, and Bailey Cedarbaum each had home runs in the win, combining for 10 ribbies and 9 of King Philip's 16 hits. The Warriors then will play number 4 Shepherd Hill Regional Wednesday in the semifinals at Worcester State University in a 6 p.m. clash. And Norton 7, Gloucester 1. The number 2 Lancers ran off 7 unanswered runs in the first 3 innings to beat number 7 Gloucester on Saturday in the MIAA Division 3 quarterfinal. A run in the first inning, 2 in the second, and 4 in the third put the game away for the Lancers, who had 6 hits, with Casey Dart having a 3-for-3 day with 2 ribbies. Natalia Faria, Avery Soares, and Lucy Pachirio each had hits and runs scored. Liana Danubio struck out 11 in 7 innings of work, allowing 3 hits with 1 earned run and no walks. Norton moves on to the semifinals to play number 3 Joseph Case Wednesday at UMass Dartmouth at 3:30 p.m. This has been Nancy reading to you today from Your Sun Chronicle. Have a wonderful day. Thanks for being here with me.